The Rush Hour. Ford Ranger, Australia's number one selling vehicle 2023, based on 2023 full year VFAX results. The Rush
Hour. So yeah, producer Luke, AB, the worst thing that's happened in my relationship in the last 12 months is Abby not being a vegan anymore. So she's now a pescatarian.
So you eating the same food as bad how?
Well, see, when she was a vegan, and I always sung the praises of this, by the way, I people like to bash vegans, whatever. She was one of those vegans that shut up about it. So
yeah, she
like
was never. Yeah. I would take her to a restaurant sometimes and we get there, there'd be no vegan options. And she's like, oh, don't worry, I'll have a chip.
Yeah, I'll have an avocado.
You're like, no, Abby, think about yourself for once.
So when she was vegan, for example, you know, I could get a pepperoni pizza at Domino's and I'd never worry about it. Mm. Obviously, pescatarians, you're still not eating that. But there's certain things that now I used to buy for myself, and every time I go in the cupboard, they're gone. You know the worst one? She's an absolute fiend for this all of a sudden, is cheese and onion Smith's chips. They're my weekend pleasure. I buy the little packets of them. I'd eat a packet of six over a weekend. I'm now eating about one packet a weekend because the other five disappear into the abyss.
Yeah, Alex can't bring the chips home. I've said just don't.
She's a disgrace.
Particularly when I get home from this show and I'm cooking dinner, I'm always starving.
Yeah.
And so I just find that, like, if he's got chips and I just said you can't, he's not allowed.
I can't.
You get a chip cupboard? Like a special. She's so short.
No, she's so short. That's why she finds things. I could hide in chips anywhere and she'd find a way where they are. Yeah. Unless it's up high, but we live in a little home. Like the roofs are very low. So.
Put it in the ceiling.
No, because then actual rats will get it.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is a very old house we're talking about. We don't want to do that. But she does it with milk. She does it with, like, all these things that she wasn't. Cheese. Don't get me started. Bigger stringers. I love bigger stringers at night. I'll have one of them. It's just like a slow whatever. It's a nice snack. Again, you buy a packet of six and I get one if I'm lucky.
Oof.
And I'll come home and she'll be like, your bigger stringers are gone.
She even admits to it straight up.
Yeah, because she knows I'm going to yell. She's a shocker.
That's good. You always admit to the thing. Like, I always used to admit
to you.
Well,
who else is going
to
take it?
Well, you know, you do something wrong.
No, but then you might question yourself. Like, I'd gaslight you and go, oh, no, I didn't have that. I reckon you ate them over the weekend. You had a few more than you thought you did. That's what I do with Alex.
I think she does that with like things that I've said in the past that I can never remember if I said. Oh, you said, you know, if I do this in time that you'll buy me this. I'm like, really?
That doesn't sound like something I'd say.
No, but I mean, also my memory's shot, so I don't know.
It could be very on brand for you because you are a very generous person. You do offer to buy things for people a lot.
Yeah, you do but you just actually just buys them.
Yeah.
He doesn't ever like offer. He's just like, hey, here.
Yeah, less conversation if you just buy it. People talking to me is annoying. Anyway, you know what I have started doing at home? And Jesus made the world a difference. When I go home from work now, I put my phone away. And on the weekend, I choose one day where I put my phone away and I don't check it all day.
So I got a screen time pop-up yesterday and it said, you're averaging 14 minutes a day on your phone.
Bullshit.
You?
Yeah.
You're always on your phone.
I screenshotted it because I was like, absolutely not. But it's happened more than once now where it said, 13 or 14. Sorry, actually wrong. 16. You averaged 16 minutes of screen time per day last week.
Jesus. Oh.
So I'm not making that up. Like, the phone would know.
Let me have a look. Hold on.
Yeah, but the phone can't
be
right.
It's a screenshot because it popped up last night.
Average 16 minutes of screen time per day. Yep. No, I thought there might have been some weird wording or something, but nope, that's actually 16 minutes
a day.
So
I must be on it less.
That can't be right. Your phone's busted.
You are definitely on your phone the most out of the three of us.
Well, it's lying to me then.
I think it's Tom Porky's. But it has...
I do phone calls, is it on your phone? No, because it's screen time.
No, it's just like Facebook and Instagram and everything.
I mean, I do
like
that
scrolling
on my computer when I'm at work.
Right, okay.
So, and then I usually just call people on the phone.
I tell you, it's been the best thing though. Literally, when I get home after this, I put it away for a couple of hours and then I pick it up on the weekend. So yesterday, it was the day... As soon as I woke up in the morning, I put it in the computer room. I didn't touch it till about 6 o'clock at night. It was amazing.
Good habits.
Yeah. I couldn't believe the difference it makes.
And you're not even having to like put them in one of those safes. You're actually just doing it.
No, because I don't really want to be on my phone. Like, we do it because it's there.
Yeah.
It's actually annoying as shit. I hate staring at the screen, but I do it because it's now a habit.
Mm. Yeah, I get that.
Anyway.
Obviously being a 16-minute per day average.
Sure you are. Radio show today. I've thrown my sheet away. Sorry, Luke, what do you got? Who ate Guzman and Gomez? Is that you?
Me, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It wasn't me.
Flew in this morning.
What do we have? We had Gleeso, who was heading out with the Screaming Jets out west, to Winton's Way Out West.
We had Daddy Chatty back for the new year.
Oh, we're not calling him Daddy Chatty.
No, we called him that last year. He is a dad.
No.
You called him that once.
And the ex-producer gave him that weird, uncomfortable nickname. And it never stuck. So I think that's why we abandoned it.
Okay, never mind.
And we abandoned that producer.
And then we had my rules for dinner parties, which were very justified. And obviously all of Queensland backed me in. And you guys are flogs.
I don't know if anyone necessarily 100% agreed with you.
No, I just am not in good company amongst you.
I don't even know where to move from here. I've already told you, I just don't like having people at my house. It's nothing against you personally.
I've never been invited over.
It's no one's been invited over.
Maybe that's why you can't meet anyone.
I don't want to come. I like our agreement, arrangement. We don't hang out outside of work. Like, if I saw you, I'd be like, yeah, hey, look.
Yeah.
But
we'd have a chat.
We're not going to make plans.
This is
what I don't get, is you wanting to hang out outside of work. I see you guys more than anyone else in my life, and that is too much. So why would I want to spend a Friday, Saturday, or Sunday night?
Because I like you as a person.
I like you as a person. I still see you five times a week.
I don't need to see you five times a week. I just want to see you occasionally.
You're not more than five times a week. You see me more than I see anyone else, and vice versa. Like, you see me 5 days a week, right? So why do you need to see me outside that? Five times a week.
But you don't anyway. Like, for ages you haven't. So why has it changed?
It hasn't.
Okay.
But you're the one that's saying you want to be invited to dinners.
No, I'm not talking. I just gave you as examples. I'm saying when I have dinner parties.
You'll hear in the podcast, you went pretty feral. You didn't even give me a chance to respond after time.
I didn't even respond. I'm responding now.
Your dogs. Absolute dogs. The packier.
Thank you.
I just don't like people at my house.
Yeah, not good enough.
What day this week do we have Lee Castledine on?
Wednesday, I think.
I'm looking forward to that. Yeah. Apparently, he got Australia's Best Bum a few years ago.
Yeah, out at the Julia Creek.
What an award.
Yeah.
Are you going to go for it? I don't recommend.
Thank you.
Actually, do we
have to... You self-deprecate your own butt.
Well, just because there isn't one there.
Do I have to Google pictures of his butt for the research or something? I don't know.
If you want to be that guy for us, I'll look it up right now and see if
it's actually online.
Well, I mean, 5 years ago, his butt could have changed.
Oh, yeah, he actually has got a photo of the... It's just him.
Well, because he would have been just fresh off Survivor 5 years ago as well. So it might have... He would have been... A lot of Survivor front pics,
but not a lot of Survivor back pics.
What are you typing in, by the way?
Just Lee Castledine butt.
Oh, you are actually attaching. That's on the work computer? Just double checking?
Yep.
Good. Yep. And then the girl that won it as well, she's got a great butt, actually.
See, I can't do it. Imagine roles reversed if I was saying that. It'd be offensive.
But no, you could say that about Lee.
What?
I don't know. I don't necessarily think Lee's is like outstanding. I think hers is more like, wow, what a great butt. She obviously does squats.
Well, I'd almost say that your opinion was moot because he did win Australia's best butt in 2019.
But she won.
Who's she?
This girl, Mount Isa resident Maddie Beavis. She also won. I think they give them a female and a male. And I just am saying, I think hers looks outstanding.
Well, I'm not going to comment because I'll get in trouble. So I am glad that you feel that way. I won't say anything.
You just want to be a guest judge at this event.
I feel like you need runs on the board, right? It'd be like...
Well, no, I think it's crowd participation.
Oh, is it? Yeah,
so runs on the board. I'll go sit out on the street and just judge randoms that walk past.
Where is it?
Julia Creek. It's about 5-ish hours west of Townsville.
Oh, I'm good. Anyway, we'll speak to him later on this week. Enjoy the podcast. I'll talk to you soon.
This is Triple M's Rush Hour with AB and Elliot.
We've seen these stories pop up over the last few years. It's nothing new. There was a title last week, Australian Woman Asks Her Guests to Pay $100 for her to host a dinner party. There's people at Christmas time who'll charge their guests similarly. And I've never agreed with that particular method for trying to get people to pay for dinner parties. Right. But I want to put out there that I think in 2024, we are not understanding the etiquette when it comes to dinner parties. And I'm almost empathizing a little bit with these people that are charging as to why they do it. I'll give you an example. My folks, they've got some friends. They've been family friends with them for 20 or 30 years. My mum said to me recently, I actually just don't invite them over to dinner anymore. It's been 20 or 30 years of us having them over for dinner parties.
Right.
We have not stepped foot in their house once in our lives.
Okay.
They've never invited us over. They haven't even said, hey, let's go down to the local surf club and we'll pay for you, whatever, like to try and make up for the dinner parties. It's a two-way street. They're done with it. They just don't invite them anymore. And I'm starting to notice, as someone who's hosted a few parties here and there,
yep,
people my age are the same. They're not understanding that if you host a dinner party, if you put on a social event at your home, you pay for the food, you take the time, that eventually it should come back in a way. I'm not saying it has to be one for one, but every now and then you should go, okay, hey, they've had me for dinner.
Yeah.
I'm going to have them. And I'm going to point the finger at both you and producer Luke, because I have had multiple dinner parties that you guys have attended.
Okay.
And I'm yet to receive an invite for any in return.
What do you want?
133353.
Yeah.
Have we lost our way? What are the rules for dinner parties, Queensland?
I mean, from my point of view, you have a much nicer house than me, which is I don't feel comfortable inviting you into my home to do
I've
that.
I've been to your house.
And it's a shitbox.
It's not too bad. I think you've made it really nice.
Thank you. The other part of that
I built a table at your house. I let me sit at the damn table and eat.
You built a bed and it broke, by the way. But I don't know how to put this nicely, so I won't. I don't really want to go to your place for dinner either. So, I mean, you've invited me about 10 to 15 times. I've been two or three because I don't want to say no all the time. Some people like hosting. I don't like hosting. I don't like going either, but
so
occasionally.
So why don't you go, okay, come to the pub this weekend?
But I don't want to go to the pub, AB. I'm quite happy just to do my own thing.
Okay, well, I will never invite you again. But
okay.
Producer Luke, I've had you over for dinner a few times.
I also generally, as a rule, don't invite people to my house. It's nothing against you. I just don't want people in my house. But we've gone
you
out.
You own your own house.
Exactly. That's why he doesn't want anyone else there. But you going where?
But when
we go to the pub, I buy you lunch on occasion.
You're at the pub on the weekend, weren't you?
No, we went to a party.
Yeah, it was
like
at a
an
pub.
Event.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I invited him.
I'm of the opinion that if you're actively choosing to host a dinner party at your house, that's your choice. That's your prerogative.
You can't
expect people to return the favour if they don't want to host a party.
This is where we've lost our way, Queensland, because the day-old tradition of having dinner parties and sharing the load is gone. People don't get it. You both don't get it.
Okay.
133353. Are my rules too harsh for dinner parties, Queensland? Or do you agree with me? Do you think there has to be some give and take? There's a little bit of currency here, for gosh sakes. We'll go to Rockhampton first. Mm-hmm. Zach on 133353. Where do you sit, mate?
In a chair, normally.
Jesus.
Hey.
Hello, Zach.
Comfortable.
G'day. Look, dinner parties, depending on how you want to talk about them, if you're talking multiple course meals with more knives and forks than you have hands, they can go out the window. But if it's family, friends, etc., around a table, around a barbecue, all that sort of stuff, it's good to go. I have the pool of the family, so I tend to have all the friends and family come to my place regularly. I don't expect them to give me anything back when we invite them around. However, sometimes they will ask if we'll host for them, you know, and they'll provide the meat for Barbie or whatever, the main cost, you know, and that way they can use the facilities I have, which they may not have at their house, and, you know, they are still giving back, but I don't expect them to unless, yeah, they invite themselves over.
I mean, it's an interesting take, but I do feel if they didn't offer to take care of all the food or whatever, Zach would probably think that it was a bit rude and that it was a bit one-sided.
Yeah, but I don't want to – his idea is that I could have my hosting at your place because it's nicer. I don't want to host because the people I'd invite over – you don't want to be friends with my friends. There's a reason I haven't introduced you
to my friends.
I just
want to be friends with you. No, I don't care about the other people.
No, but then it's just dinner with you and I and God
and
knows –
and our partners.
Nope, that is very boring to me. We're going to go to Townsville. Neville, your dinner rules, what do you got?
Mate, I'm 56 year old and I've never been to a dinner party or invited to one. To me, a dinner party is too toffee-nosed for a North Queenslander.
Do you mate, feel potentially at 56 you could start stepping in for me and going for me when AB has hers?
Mate, I'd much rather have a barbecue. Yeah. All the friends come around, you'll get some meat, people bring some meat around, you have a few drinks and you have a barbecue. None of this bloody, you know...
Turn your nose up. Yeah,
but
I
Neville, I will say, I'm not specifically saying that barbecues aren't dinner parties. To me, that is dinner party. You're having them over for dinner. It counts as well. But are you getting invited to barbecues back?
Oh, yes, definitely. Yeah, we get invited to barbecues all the time.
But, exactly.
Yeah, you know, to me, barbecues and dinner parties are two different things.
Yeah, and Nev sounds like an easygoing, you know, chiller.
Okay, but he gets invited back.
Exactly, because he's an easygoing chiller and you're a... You're not.
Okay, we'll get another one. I want someone to be on my side and understand this plight.
No one's against you. It's a conversation.
Okay, you poon now. 133353 Crystal, what do you reckon?
I reckon I'm mostly on your side.
Okay.
You're
talk us through it.
Posting them regularly. Surely you got to get an invite back, and if you don't, need to piss them off because that's being rude.
She's my people.
Hey, Crystal.
She is my people.
She can get rid of me whenever she likes. That's a thing that works for everybody.
She works with you, so it's hard.
Yeah, I know.
But it's not just you. You and Luke have done it a couple of times, but there are definitely people who constantly will come over and never, like, the fact that my parents have never even walked foot into these people's house, I find rude.
Do you think that the people that were going to your parents' place were saying
yes?
Can I finish my point? Were saying yes out of being polite and weren't particularly interested in the friendship, but the offer was out there. They were being nice.
Actually, no, because a little bit of intel in that.
Thanks, Crystal.
They said to a family member of theirs that they didn't feel like they had many friends, so my parents made an extra big effort to include them so that they would feel more included, but never got anything back. So they just said after a bit, stuff it, we're over it. And not in like a, hey, no, you're never coming over again. Just we're just not going to extend the invite to you next time.
I mean, I don't have many friends and I enjoy it that way. So again, maybe those people were the same.
So why would they talk to people and say they wanted more?
You didn't use that in your story. You just said they didn't have many friends.
Okay. I just did that.
Your story seemed to change all the time, mate.
You're just a mooch up there, mooches. Stuff you all, Crystal. All right. You're coming over for
dinner. Must be tough, all that family money. This is literally a weekend away from the gods, from heaven. Listen to this. In gorgeous Winton, one of Outback Queensland's most iconic festivals, the Winton Way Out West Fest is presenting PBR's BAD. That's balls, bands, and bikes after dark. I'm literally talking a full weekend of PBR ball riding, live music, and of course the FMX motocross action that's happening April 56. Yes, please. On that weekend, one of the great Australian bands, the Screaming Jets, will be in action. I don't know how sober they'll be, but to tell us more is their frontman, kingpin of the Triple M family as well. Of course, the wonderful Dave Gleeson. Hello, Gleeso.
G'day, guys. Thanks for having me on there. Big wrap up there. Big build up. I'm excited about going to Winton for the Way Out West Fest myself now.
I'm nervous, Gleeso, because the Jets are known as one of the loosest, one of the best partying bands in the entire country. Are you even going to get to the stage with everything you
have? We always make it to the stage. Don't worry about that. That's one of our things. Punctuality is probably our biggest asset, I think, and has kept us in the music industry for 35 years.
Now,
but yeah, can't wait.
I was going to say, Gleeso, are you going to stick around for the rest of the action of the event? Because it's not like just another music festival. There's a bit on.
Yeah, we're all lucky enough to go to the Mount Isa Rodeo late last year. We played there. So we did get to see a bit of bull riding and all that carry on. I believe there's motocross there as well.
What would it take to get you on the back of a bull?
Have you heard of a drink called Fireball?
I have, yep.
That's all it takes.
Bit of that.
That's what it would take. It'd take a full responsible belt of it, obviously. I see those young kids doing it, and I just think they are as hardcore as can be. And the blokes who get on the big, steam coming out of their nostrils, bulls, I don't know how big their cojones are, but they must be somewhere hidden.
That's for sure. And hey, you work in radio as well. It's all content. Now, a big year for the band as well, for obviously a brilliant reason being that you had a new album, but then obviously a more somber reason as well. The loss of Paul Woosine, unfortunately passing away. Yeah. How have things been going for you guys since? Are you managing all right? And in memory of him, how much of the new album will be honoured in this tour?
Well, obviously he wrote, I think, 8 out of the 10 tracks on there with Scotty Kingman, our guitarist. So it's just been great to have the album received so well and people give it such positive reviews. Sadly, Paulie's not here to see it, but wherever he is, he did say he was going to the back wall of hell at one stage when we were younger men. But I think good souls go wherever they go, he's gone there. But luckily we decided to stay on the road and finish the gigs that we already had lined up just to kind of make sure the album didn't get, you know, left behind. Mm-hmm. And it's been very good for us all to be together and be going through it together. We still have some pretty down moments over the journey, but rather than sitting around on our own, we're, you know, enjoying each other's company and making music.
Gleeson, does it make touring harder without Paul, or does it make you want to do it more, as you said, sort of a chance to put your arms around each other?
Yeah, look, I think makes it something much more special to us rather than just by going around, you know, doing a bunch of shows, which we obviously love. It's we're the brotherhood, and we're out there kind of honouring not only him, but, you know, we're trying to forge ahead and see what comes next for the Jets.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I mean, something you guys have tackled this year, we had Taylor Swift fever not long ago as she, yes, she entered the country. You guys, of course, as we had the best artist on Triple M covering her songs. Is that, and by the way, you guys did a phenomenal job. Is that, yeah, the hardest cover you've had to do or been challenged to do?
Oh, look, we've done some pretty difficult ones in the past. We did My Heart Will Go On many years ago. For the great Andrew Denton, when he was breakfast on Triple M. We went in and did it like 7 o'clock in the morning. I think that was the hardest part.
I bet it was.
Because we learnt the song the night before, decided to go out and celebrate learning the song, got to the thing at about 5:30 in the morning, forgot the song, and then had to relearn it and do it live on air. So that's lurking around somewhere as well. But
jeez, I need to find that.
It is difficult doing a Taylor song just because of all the hate. You know, she says it herself, hate is going to hate. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there were some Taylor Swift fans who absolutely hated it.
No, it was top shelf. Do you reckon this one will get a run at Winton Way Out?
Probably not.
Okay, fair.
You don't think that's Swiftie territory in Winton, mate?
I bet it is Swiftie territory. They'd love it. They'd probably come on stage and hit me with stuff.
Yeah. Read the room.
It's a blasphemy. It's a blasphemous attempt at a Taylor Swift song.
They're more Celine Dion people out there for sure.
Oh, yeah, so we throw a bit of Slim. We throw a bit of Slim in. We throw a bit of Johnny Cash in.
Oh.
Maybe a bit of Goanna, because we did that covers album a couple of years ago. So we've got a bunch of songs like that. Because not everyone there is going to be a Jets fan. Mm-hmm. They'll know. There will be Jets fans there. I know it because they're loyal and they're all over the joint. But for the people who are kind of the unwashed masses, as I like to call them, they probably don't like being called that. but, you know, they'll know the hits and stuff. So we'll kind of make sure that everyone kind of has a great night dancing and singing along.
Well, the Jets are back at Winton Way Out West Fest. You can actually get tickets through the PBR website. It's pbraustralia.com.au. Also, info at experiencewinton.com.au. 3 days of BAD, balls, bands and bikes after dark. Dave Gleeson, we love your work, mate. Love hearing you on the M's weeknights from 7 p.m. as well. Thanks for your time on the Rush Hour.
No worries. Absolutely love it. Thanks, guys.
Triple M's Rush Hour with AB and Elliot.
Live across Queensland on Triple M, the Rush Hour with AB and Elliot. I want to hear your tales of Savvy. 133353, the phone number. Surprises that backfired. You had the best intentions and things went horribly wrong. I was on the phone to a mate of mine over the weekend. So him and his beautiful partner, they've been together almost 15 years. High school
good
sweethearts,
innings.
Yep. Got a couple of kids. And as with a lot of families across this great state, with that many kids, with jobs, everything, life gets in the way of the relationship sometimes.
Heard that.
Yep. So, I can't use my friend's name because you'll find out why in a second. And I hope I do this justice.
And more importantly, his missus will probably find out.
She would cut off my toes. So, she wanted to keep the relationship fresh.
Good on her.
Yep, and decided, okay, he's coming home from work. The kids are at grandma and grandpa's for the night. I'm going to be sitting there ready to go in a sexy nurse outfit to spice things up.
Aw, what a cutie.
Unbeknownst to her, my mate's not huge into the dress-up thing. You know, some people love it and some people just doesn't do it for them.
I'm not really into it, but, like, yep, the effort's there. It's cute.
Yeah, yeah.
And she would have looked hot as.
I'm sure she did. I haven't seen photos for good reasons. But, and this is how he told the story and how he butchered it so badly. When he walked into said surprise and saw her, she's standing there, she's got candles lit, the bed's ready, everything's good to go. His reaction was, oh.
thing you can do.
I think it's a natural reaction because he's not into it, but oh.
Can't you just...
No.
If it was you in this situation,
yes.
Couldn't you just fake it for a second and go, you look amazing. I don't really like costume stuff. Take it off.
No. Well, as we know, women have been able to fake certain things over many years.
We're much better at it.
Men aren't great at this kind of stuff. So no, she was so off him. Apparently stormed off, didn't talk to him the rest of the night.
In the hot outfit, too.
I know. Well, if you're not into it, you're not into it. But, it's not the reaction you're chasing.
I'm hurting for her.
133353. Surprises that backfired. Maybe it was, you know, someone's birthday party and they found out beforehand, it was meant to be a surprise wedding and people didn't turn up. Whatever it was, love to hear stories.
I mean, for me, definitely, because I thought that this would be one of the most beautiful moments for us to treasure forever.
Yep.
It was when I told Alex that I was pregnant.
Yeah, I remember how that went.
Were you pregnant?
Yeah.
You reckon?
Well, I did too. And they're both positive.
Good work. Do you reckon it'll be right?
It's so awkward that you reckon and then the good work. Mate, you did your bit too. 1-3-3-5-3.
I just can never use that for anything now. Like, I was hoping it would be a beautiful, wholesome moment. But nevertheless, so was the dirty nurse. Poor thing.
Surprises that backfired. This could have been a gift that you swore they would have loved and maybe they gave the same dirty nurse. Oh. Whatever it was.
He's a monster. Tell her she can send me that photo and I'll tell her she looks hot.
Let's go to Harvey Bay. First up, surprises that backfired. Mick, what's your story, brother?
Late one night, we were having a bit of argument, myself and my lovely wife, and I had to get up and go to work the next morning early, and came home at lunchtime with a nice bunch of flowers. And she's like, look, I'm still angry at you. Like, the flowers aren't going to make up for it. Like, what the heck's going on? I'm like, happy anniversary, dear. And she's like, oh, what?
Oh, you were so satisfied in that moment, weren't you, Mick?
I've never let her live it down. Anything I forget, yeah, but at least I didn't forget our anniversary.
It's very good. You might be the only man winner. In this state that remembered when the woman didn't, by the way.
I don't know when my... Oh, no, wedding anniversary, true.
133353. We're going to go to Rocky up next. Susie, surprises that backfired. What's your story?
Well, look, it actually turned out to be a good one, okay. But I'm a mad 30-plus year fan of Poison, and my partner...
Right.
That's them. My partner bought me a birthday present, a life-size cardboard cutout of Bret Michaels.
Right.
In the meantime, this is a surprise, in the meantime, I came across the same ad a couple of days later, and bought myself the same thing for a birthday present. So now I have two life-size cardboard cutouts of Bret Michaels that live in my lounge room.
I was going to say, is it the worst thing? You could have one for work. You could have one at home, maybe in different rooms.
Funnily enough, the second one that they sent me was a different one. It wasn't the one I originally ordered.
Oh, different angles.
So I actually have two different ones.
Have you ever, Susie, and you got to be real careful with this, if you and your husband are having some private alone time together, have you ever thought about moving one of the cutouts into the bedroom for motivation?
Look, I will. I won't deny that Brett's overlooking things. And supervising activities is certainly a big help.
Yeah, he's the foreman.
Hey, Elliot, it could help your friend out. Maybe he's not into the nurse thing, but mix it up.
Oh, it's just Danny. Appreciate the call, Susie. Have a great night.
No worries.
Oh, it's very good. Round two of the NRL done and dusted. The moment of the round, as called by the great Wade Chiesa. Golden point, Cowboys v Knights.
Two left. They go the short side. Dearden pokes away, gets away. Tommy Dearden's just ankle tapped. And then Ponga's there to save the day and bring him to ground. 12 metres out. Last one for the North Queensland. Townsend with the field goal. Does he get it? He's got it. The Cowboys have got out of jail in this one. Townsend wins it for North Queensland.
As a Knights tragedy, actually hurts more listening back to that, but joining us is the man that kicked the field goal, Chad Townsend. Hello, mate.
Hello, thanks for having us. How are you, bud?
I'm fine. Chad walks in here. You know you're 0-2. I'm aware. Count down to two.
Is this the last person you wanted to see today?
No, because I am fascinated to know so many people across this great state grow up wanting to be NRL stars, and they grow up practicing moments like that where the game's tied, it's on the line, you got a chance to win it. What's that feeling like when you do?
Yeah, it's pretty. It's definitely an addictive feeling or surreal. Like it's you know, a lot of emotion, I guess, a lot of work. You kind of think about, like, I thought back to, like, when I was a kid, like, just practicing when you're in the backyard. And I've hit field goals, you know, for the last 20 years just practicing. And it's an area where I do practice a lot. So to see it come off, like, yeah, I was obviously stoked. I mean, you know, we got out of jail, definitely. And you can see by the emotion after the siren that, you know, we were pretty happy.
Yeah, I think that heat even gets to the North Queenslanders. I'd love to know, because obviously it was a very different first half. Things started a little bit slower. What was the talk like from Toddy in the sheds?
Yeah, he was pretty calm, actually. I think a lot of our errors in the first half were unforced, you know, just either nothing mistakes, just drop balls. Or, you know, I made two errors. I didn't find touch twice, which I don't think I could tell you last time I did that. You know, a lot of unforced, like they didn't force the errors. It was just like either an lapse of concentration or focus or whatever it was. I'm not too sure. But, you know, there was areas that we could fix pretty quickly. And, yeah, he was really calm. And then the second half, we just wanted to get back to what we sort of spoke about during the week. And we did that pretty quickly.
The feels like at kickoff, for those that didn't get to watch the game, the feels like was 32 degrees, which is just
sticky.
It was sweaty standing on the sideline. How quickly do you gas out when it is that hot?
Yeah, a lot quicker than if it's not, to be honest. That game was, I was really, really tired. Like, usually I can get my wind and I feel actually pretty good, but there was a couple of stages during the game because of the sheer heat, the humidity. I found like I was sweating a lot. The ball was slippery. You know, I found myself drinking a lot more and trying to get it in. Every time the trainer would come out, I'd be just trying to get the water or Powerade back into me. So, yeah, the heat definitely makes a difference. Obviously, I think for us, it's, you know, we're kind of used to it to some extent. It would have been a lot harder for the night. But it does play a huge factor, obviously, with how hot it is.
Now, looking at the Dragons next week, I mean, obviously, they went from a very, very strong start in the comp to last night being very, very much less so. How are you even shaping up this ladder? Who is threatening to you in the comp at the moment? Because for me, it's changing every minute.
Yeah, I think everyone's threatening, to be honest. I think, you know, it's just too early in the season to, you know, talk about, you know, form and what team's going to do what and this and that. Like, the comp's 27 weeks long. It's round two. Like, you know, even ourselves, like, yeah, we've had a great start. We're 2-0 and, you know, we're not getting ahead of ourselves at all. And, you know, it's a tough game. Every single week, and any team can beat anyone on any day, and that's the best thing about the NRL. I think that's why fans love it, that's why players love it, because there's exciting games, there's exciting finishes. So, you know, the Dragons, there's no doubt they'll be disappointed with the way they played on the weekend, and, you know, we need to be up for them because we're playing them down there in Cogra, and our first trip away in Sydney. So we didn't travel too well last year in Sydney, and, you know, we want to really improve on that area of our game.
Well, that game, 4:30 p.m. Saturday afternoon, you will hear it right here on Triple M. If you can't get access to the radio, the listener app as well. Chad Townsend, a great weekend. Quickly, happy birthday to Miami. One of your daughters turned 3 yesterday. So you're playing dad.
Yeah, well, I had a big
playing
weekend.
Dad.
Thank you. We had a fantastic weekend. Actually, my daughter turned 3. One of my daughters, and we had a big Minnie Mouse cake at home. Yep. So we made her feel special.
I just realised, looking at your face at the moment, I actually still hate you. So I'm not ready to move on. Anyway, well done this past week, mate. Good luck against the Dragons. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for having us, guys.
Triple M's Rush Hour with AB and Elliot. Triple M's
Rush Hour! Wouldn't you rather be driving Australia's number one selling vehicle of 2023? Ford Ranger? Discover why at your local Ford dealer.